Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Another version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden. I'm here in Washington, D.C., where I was attending the MLS All-Star. MLS, for those of you hardcore sports who know nothing about soccer, is the Major League Soccer League, had their All-Star game here in D.C. last night. And I'll tell you all about that. Don't click. Don't turn off. Yeah, about that. Jamal, what's happening?
What's up, Bill? Everything's good out here in a nice hot Brooklyn. I didn't go to any MLS games.
Oh man, you gotta get with it, brother.
Yeah, I know. I just been at youth games of all sports. That's what I'm up to now. But first, before we get started, of course, Bros Pod is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one choice. Or number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
So how much do you want to bet that in 20 years, soccer will replace football in the United States as a major sport?
I'll put everything that does not happen.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Not everything. Because it's getting, football's getting kind of violent. You know, it's getting, people are getting tired of the violence. So,
well, you know, kind of. They say that in July, you know. Come September, they'll be right back.
They might have those super duper helmets by then, you know. Might be playing with the helmets they use in practice with the, I don't even know how to describe it, you know.
Those are sponge helmets.
The sponge helmets.
People be bouncing off.
They might be forced to play with that.
Yeah. Well, eventually, with this artificial intelligence, I know players don't think about it, but there could be a time when those guys become replaced. Yeah. Because imagine having, you know, you could almost have games played in like studios, you know, where you have automatons and, you know, and it, I mean, all kinds of violence. Did you ever watch Westworld?
No, I heard about it.
Yeah, but it was, they had these almost lifelike human figures. I mean, they look exactly like human beings, you know. They look just like human beings, except they weren't. And people would pay money to go to this area, you know, multi-billionaires would pay all kinds of money to go to this resort area where all these automatons, and they could let their fantasies run wild. They could shoot them, they could do anything, you know, to these people. And then, of course, they take the automatons to some factory and have them repaired and all that. And, you know, I was thinking, man, they do that with NFL. You could have, and it could be the worst kind of violence because at the end you just take them, you know, like, you know, instead of shooting them a cortisone, you just take them back to the factory, you know, put a new part. And then they're all programmed. You know, all these things are programmed. So, you know, nobody's safe. You know,
yeah.
The journalists aren't safe. The football players ain't safe.
I agree. I think about it because as long as you – as long as real people exist, you know, still, but as long as you can convince the fans and us in our minds that it's the same thing and put names on people and give people their own attributes and do things, what do we really care if it's real people? Like, you know, you could probably get to a point to convince us that it's the same. We could still bet on it.
Yeah.
You know, what's the difference?
And then if the people, I'm telling you, man, these people just look like you and me.
Right.
I mean, they were like human beings, and they could talk. They could give great interviews. But all the interviews would be programmed. You know, it would be this. It's just fitting. And then they could, the hits would be just like oh. The worst kind of hit. Maybe
you could have limbs flying off. What does it matter?
The people would be,
I feel like there's been movies like that where the limbs fly off on hits.
Yeah, it'd be the worst kind of violence. You got fights where people are like tearing somebody's arm off or something. You know, oh man.
Oh, I thought that's MMA.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That exists. Hey, boy, I forgot that.
Yeah. That already, people love watching that.
Yeah. So, anyways, before we get into real, no, I shouldn't say that. So, I was
careful.
I want to ask you that too because so last week I forget when it was. I was at the Major League All-Star, Major League Baseball All-Star game in Seattle, and. Yeah. You know, the big imperative there in baseball was how do we get more Black Americans in baseball? How do we get more young Black Americans in baseball? And so they had the HBCU All-Star game and blah, 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 blah. So here in soccer, they've got the same thing here in the United States with soccer. How do we get the young athletic Black kid into soccer? And I just thought it was sort of fascinating to have, and we won't talk about hockey. We'll do that in the winter. But how you've got Major League Baseball and Major League Soccer, these two sports, trying to get the Black talent. And you know, I wanted to talk to you about your sons because they are the target group.
Right.
They'll figure out how do we get these young kids and their parents to guide the kids into soccer and maybe – away from baseball. They realized football and basketball were hopeless. But, you know, so if you had a preference, what would it be? Yeah, I mean, you said your one son plays a little bit of soccer, a lot of touch football.
Right. A lot of football, almost as much basketball. Baseball, he wants to play. We're trying to – I haven't been able to find a team yet, but, you know, just been busy. Plus, he's busy. But soccer, we did through the school. You know, the school had, you know, instead of after school, you can put him in a soccer program that's connected to the school. So we did that, and he liked it, and you know, he developed some soccer skills.
Okay.
And soccer's obviously a great start sport for like little kids. You can have 2-3 year olds out there kicking a soccer ball. Probably the easiest sport to start. So we've done that with
running around.
Running around, you know, kicking a soccer ball.
Lamar Jackson's running around.
Exactly. So, you know, speaking of that, it shouldn't be too hard to get kids out there. But I don't know. It's just, and we're talking specifically about minority youth, Black youth.
Well, yeah, and then not even so much minority because the point I was interviewing yesterday, this brother named Shala Winley, great guy. He is the chief diversity officer for Major League Soccer. Been there since 2021, and his job is twofold: is to diversify the front office and the coaching ranks, but also to diversify the players. But he was making a great point. He was saying that the average, you know, if you have Latin players or Hispanics coming into the United States as young kids, they're already familiar with soccer. Just like if you have African immigrants coming to the United States, they're already familiar with soccer. The group that's not familiar with soccer is young African-American born kids. They're not necessarily familiar with soccer because they've been oriented toward, you know, football, toward basketball, maybe toward baseball, but probably not. But he was saying that's the one target group, the young African-American kid, Black American-born kid, not really familiar. So when you say the minorities, well, most of the other ethnic groups are.
Right.
You know, they're already familiar with soccer. You don't have to convince them, but it's that black and black athletes are we're the athletes of the world, of the universe. We're the universal athletes. So everybody's looking for that great black athlete.
The question is, are they really? That's the baseball question, right? Do they really want black kids?
I thought you said, are they really the athlete? Yeah. Really
Black Americans are really the athletes.
But no, I think that you raise a great point. Does baseball really want these great black athletes to come take spots from their kids? And it's the same thing in soccer, because in soccer, you know, when you have the soccer moms and all that, that's really a middle in the United States. It's a middle and upper class, upper middle class sport.
Right.
Where you have a lot of white kids who are there and they get the scholarships and all that. And do they really want these young Hispanic kids, young black, great black to come and take their kids' spots?
And soccer, the way it looks now, you know, as a parent, it's very popular. At young ages, like I said, but mostly for white kids in this country. And it makes me wonder, do these parents want black kids involved and playing with their white kids? Because, you know, it made me think about just schools in general, right? Like public schools that are gentrifying or schools that are predominantly white. There's an issue, as always, about whether, you know, how to diversify the schools and that kind of thing. And you see on the school level, you know, you might have a class of 20 kids. And let's say you're in a mixed neighborhood or a school that's considered a good school in a zone. And 20 kids, I'm talking about, like, you know, okay, 5-6 year olds or something, 4-5 year olds, kindergarten or something like that. And you have 20 kids, and there'll be 16 white kids, four black kids, and inevitably, the little black kids are the ones that get sent to the principal, you know, for acting. They all, you know, any kindergarten kid is gonna be restless and wild on occasion, and it's like, and what I see is like a black kid will be sent to the principal for just being a kid. So it makes me think about soccer. Now all these parents are putting their kids into these soccer. They're not accepting of gentrifying their spaces. So to me, this is another one of their spaces, for kids.
Yeah.
So it could start there. And I'm just thinking about that off the top. I haven't done a study, but you know what I'm saying?
I think you're right. I mean, and I talked to soccer officials about this. I said, do you really want soccer to look like the NBA and the NFL?
No, you they
know,
don't
they said, well, you know, we kind of like our model here, you know, right. You know, where universally, you know, soccer is a working person sport, you know. Now,
right.
You know, the Women's World Cup starts today, started yesterday, rather. Mm-hmm. And again, I really made a deep dive into this about is the Women's League pursuing young black athletes, you know, young black women athletes to play? Or is everybody just content? You know, and I think we run into the same thing with baseball. Baseball is purely solidified as a white kid sport in America. That's the one sport where the white-born, you know, white American kid can have a shot to dominate. And it's clearly, you have a lot of, you know, Latin players, but they're not, they don't seem to be seen as the same threat as black American players, you know?
Or with baseball, like I think that they're probably seen as a threat, you know, overall, you know, it's, you know, from parents or, you know, they are competition.
Well, threat, I see what you're saying.
You know, but if they're kind of saying, well, okay, there's still, even if they're a threat and they're participating, there's still room for us. Now, if black Americans get in there, now they're fighting, you know, in terms of participation at the highest levels, they'd be fighting for less spots even.
Yeah, you can squeeze. And I think the barrier now, and I think you and Khalid talked about it last week that even basketball, I mean, you could easily price out people. And baseball has basically priced out a lot of young black kids. And soccer has kind of done the same thing. And what Shala Winley was saying is that in soccer, they want to remove the pay-for-play model, where the cost of playing is just so expensive that you kind of go broke, you know, trying to change your, you know, trying to participate.
Which is a joke. Right. Which seems like a joke, because soccer, there's really no, in baseball, you could, you know, it might be manufactured in baseball also. I'm sure it is to an extent, but you know, there is equipment involved. Baseball fields aren't, you know, harder to find than soccer fields. Soccer, there should be no excuse. Anybody can go. It's like basketball, like the people say about basketball. Oh, you could just go out there and play and shoot hoops. You could do the same thing with soccer. So for that to be an expensive sport seems manufactured.
Yeah, you have travel teams. I mean, you could make anything expensive.
Right.
You know, now you have to join. You have to join a soccer club.
Right.
Because what's the point of, you know, if you just like in your neighborhood, you have all black neighborhood, and a guy wants to start a team, and you can start a team, but where are you going to play? You know, if you want to play into a league, there's a fee to get into the league, and you got to have registration fees. And, you know, they can make it, you know, they can make it as expensive as they want, you know. And I'm sure you could have, you have to have soccer camps, you know, things like that. So you can
instructors and.
Yeah. Now I guess in basketball, you know, now I guess you have to join an AAU team.
Yeah.
And there's, again, not a lot of equipment. I mean, there's
no
speakers.
But it's like access, right? Access to experts or access to
shooting coach.
Coach or, you know, and then the dream of being recruited and getting, you know, going to school for free. So there's access to tournaments where coaches will be. So I'm sure as you get older in soccer, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and if you want to, you know, there are all these AAU basketball tournaments where all the coaches come.
Right.
So if you want to be on a team, you know, we should have asked Khalid that. You know, they're not flying you out there for free, I guess. So maybe parents have to pay a particular fee. Unless you're like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then you get, you know, you get paid for.
Well, you know, there's a mother of a kid who's going to be starting a starting point guard for North Carolina next season. He'll be a freshman, Elliot Cadeau. His mother was on Twitter, and I was reading some of her tweets, and she was asking about, you know, AAU and the payment for AAU, and from what I could tell, it seems, and she was saying that it's really the middle school kids and the younger kids, you know, they pay about $2,500 or so, or $1,000 to $2,500 for the summer, and they use that money to finance their teams with kids who don't pay.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're financing. It's the kids, the younger middle school, fifth to ninth grade, and each parent has to pay $1,000 to $2,500 for that kid, and that pays for the really good kids who play on the circuit.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a sort of subsidy, mm-hmm. you know. So, yeah, it's all a racket.
Right.
You know, it's all a racket. I guess we have to come up with a racket. So anyway, but but back to the
Soccer.
So I was here last night. They had a sold-out crowd at it's called Audi Stadium, which is cool because it's a stadium made just for soccer. You know, I think its capacity is 20,000, 22,000. And it was a great atmosphere. It's kind of like baseball, you know, except I guess there's more action in soccer in terms of people just running around. You know, there's always constant movement, you know, not a lot of scoring,
but
constant moving. Where baseball is not constant movement, it's basically sitting around, strike one, ball one. You know?
It's faster now, Bill, you know, with the pitch
clock. Yeah, right, exactly. Because a guy can't spend 2 hours outside the batter's box.
Right.
Swing and a miss. Well, you know, John, last week in Oregon, blah, 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 blah. Here's the pitch. Foul ball.
Yeah. Right, right.
But I think both are outdoor sports, and you can bring the family and kill. And the only good thing, the good thing about soccer is that you know you're only going to be there for like 2 hours.
Hmm.
I mean, it's pretty much that is set in time.
Right, know? It's a time sport, unlike baseball.
Baseball could go on for like, it could be 3 hours. So, right. But when you're outdoors, if you want to bring the family, and I guess in the United States, if you go to MLS, it's probably a pretty good deal cost-wise because I guess, you know, they're trying to make it affordable.
Right.
So there's something to be said. And the game itself, you know, my cousin, you know, Kyle and Kevin, Kyle's a friend of the show, and his brother, Kevin, is a huge soccer fan. I mean, big, big, big soccer fan. And they look at MLS as like the super minor leagues, you know, because all the great leagues are in Europe.
Right.
And England and Spain, you know, Italy. Those were the great. And your great, this was fascinating to me, the great young player in the United States, the great young soccer player in the United States goes overseas to Europe,
right,
where
right.
The great football player, you know, your goal is to go to big time college and the NFL. And
right.
The great basketball player, although there are a lot of different leagues, your goal is to go to the NBA. So you stay in the United States, where in soccer, the great players go to Europe. So it's I'm intrigued by the feeder system and soccer and baseball trying to go after, they say at least, trying to go after the talented young black athlete. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And then there's the question if the young black athlete wants to play it. And I kind of think, you know, one of the biggest issues with baseball and probably soccer is that, you know, young black kids, we grow up and we watch those major sports, football and basketball, and those are the most popular sports on television. Those are the most popular. Those are the sports that are making the most money that you see commercials for. That guys who play in those leagues are on commercials. They become superstars. You're not really seeing that even from the white baseball players. You don't see that. You don't see that soccer. You don't see soccer stars on TV. So I think that's a big part of it. So it's almost like you have to make the sport popular first. Even though it was black people who made those sports, who made football and basketball popular, they played the role in making those sports popular. But so I don't know, you know, the chicken or the egg type of thing.
Yeah. I think soccer is an uphill climb. I mean, you've got, you know, I mean, I'm sure I'll probably be wrong in saying this. I'm not about to say anything controversial, by the way. I'm just saying in Europe, I know, you know, you got soccer. Now I know you've got things like other
cricket.
Sports.
Cricket,
rugby, you know. I don't know if cricket and rugby are the same thing of competing in the United States with the NFL, the NBA, and even Major League Baseball. I mean, you've got these, and hockey, you know, you've got these major sports in the United States that all are feeding on a youth pipeline because, you know, that's the blood of your sport are young people. You got to constantly bring that supply, you know. You run on young, supple bodies. And so you've got to have all these youth systems going out and, like, grabbing these talented young players. You know, I'd imagine that baseball, the NFL and basketball kind of dominate the pipeline in terms of the labor that they need. Hockey, I think, has a great pipeline too. It's a niche sport, but they have their pipeline. And I guess soccer in this country is at a loss because it's young. I mean, the MLS is only 28 years old.
Right.
Where, you know, the NFL is what, like 1920, Major League Baseball is the 19th century, you know. So I just find it, because you're talking about feeding on young bodies, you know, trying to identify these three major sports, trying to identify young bodies, you know, to like develop, nurture, toss out, and just get the cream of the crop to come into your sport, to fuel your sport. So it's pretty easy, but I think soccer has an uphill climb. I mean, but you know,
I mean, they're doing better, because I have more friends, you know, now who have daughters who are playing in even at high levels, in high school or high school age, because a lot of times these very good soccer players don't even play for their high school team in soccer. They play for a club team, and even if their high school has a team, they don't play for that team because it's not on the level.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. if you have a kid who can play in college, a lot of times you're not even playing you for your own high school. You're playing, you found a better team.
You're a club team.
Yeah, you're a club team. So
yeah.
And I see more and more of that, and I have friends of mine who, you know, never played soccer growing up, were more football, basketball guys, and their daughters play soccer. You know, their black daughters play soccer at a, you know, so I see it more and more. So it must be, you know, that participation aspect of it must be increasing, but I guess not at the rate.
Yeah. And again, you know, as we end this segment, people, you know, daughter, particularly, you know, a black daughter with Raisa, we didn't have, I think she played soccer, she ran track, and your options, you know, soccer would be a great option, you know,
right,
to play. We'll have to bring on an expert next week to talk not only about that, but to talk about the Women's World Cup, which began earlier this week. Tragically, you know, there was a shooting in Auckland. A gunman broke into a construction site on the eve of the Women's World Cup and began just opening fire. And, you know, just terrible. But we'll have somebody in next week to talk about the U.S. women and their quest title.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I think it'd be their third. If they win, this one would be their third in a row. But
yeah,
from what I've heard, we shouldn't be expecting that at this point. I think, you know, the world has gotten better, and three in a row is tough.
Yeah, well, we do expect it.
before we leave this segment, the MLS match you attended, did you have fun?
Yeah.
Like, what was the experience?
Well, I brought three of the Roden Fellows, you know, one of whom she actually had a very good story there's a guy, let's see his friend's name. Of course, I found his play. There's a guy, a player from who plays for DC United, and his name is Christian Bedeke. He's a black Belgian-born player who plays for DC United, and this is his first All-Star game. I mean, he played in the Premier League,
you know? Okay.
And he kind of grew up. He grew up briefly in the United States, I think in Brooklyn or something. But he spent most of his time playing in a European league. But he played at a pretty high level. But then he recently came back to the United States. He said, you know, I guess he had a decent career, a good career in the Premier League. And like a lot of, like Messi, I think.
Who's coming to Miami, right?
Yeah, he's going to Miami. So clearly Messi is not what he was, but he'd get paid because MLS could use that name.
Right. Sort of like they did with Beckham.
Previously. Same thing with Beckham. You know, Beckham, who incidentally, I think he is a GM or part owner or something, but he got heat because, you know, MLS has the same issue. They're trying to hire black American coaches. And they've got their version of the Rooney Rule.
Mm.
But just like they get around in the NFL, Beckham got around it. And remember, he hired his crony. He hired some buddy of his who probably never even know nothing about soccer at all. And he hired him. So, right. You know, everybody's got the same. You know, even the NFL, I mean, we talk about how great their pipeline is. They get a great idea. They have a great way of getting black players in, but have trouble making them head coaches and executives.
Right, right.
So that's – but, yeah, but anyway, but the game was fun. It was fun seeing the fellows navigate the press room and, mm-hmm. you know, going to the – you know, in soccer, unlike – they've got what they call the I think the neutral zone. I'm probably getting it wrong. But where journalists line up and as players come out, they speak to the players in sort of like this neutral zone where you kind of grab a little bit here, a little bit there. Okay. It's not like the NFL where, you know, we stand outside the locker room and we go to the interview room, you know, because locker room's open and the horde
barges. Rushing, yeah.
You know, although they have both. They've got the neutral zone and then they'll open the locker room up.
Okay.
So that part is and maybe at some point. So, but yes, to answer your question, we did have fun. Long night, though, man. I didn't get out of the stadium till like midnight. And as you know,
right,
you know, that's
based on the press coverage part of it after the game, sticking around the locker rooms and all that. Aren't you looking forward to doing that this year, Jets games?
Well, it depends. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think the Jets, yeah. Maybe this was a Greg way going from that into the NFL. I am kind of looking forward to the Aaron Rodgers experience. Though it seems like we've seen this story before.
Story, right? The Brett Favre?
Yeah, we've seen this before. For the sake of our guy, people we know and love who work for the Jets.
Yeah.
We're hoping it's a
they need a good season, man.
Right.
Come on, just one. Yeah. You know, I grew up the Jets and Eagles fan, you know. So I do kind of root for the Jets.
Yeah, well, kind of. you used to root for the Knicks too. Let's not divert. So I think the Jets will be a big story. But what do you make of Saquon Barkley? I mean, we were talking about how great soccer is, but the NFL is so exploitive, and particularly in if you are an NFL running back, you basically are useless. You know, I mean, it's probably one of the most exploited positions in all of sports, you know, because they say they want young running. It's like chewing gum. You know, you get that burst of sugar of a stick, and then you throw it out. Then you get another stick, and that's the NFL running back, right, where you just chew it for a little while, toss it out. Chew it for a little while, toss it out.
Yeah, and I get that part of it. I get that the running back is kind of as a position in general, it is kind of interchangeable. It is a spot where most of the time there's a high probability that the running back will get hurt. So I understand why. You know, teams have kind of changed directions and don't want to pay them. But the Saquon Barkley Giants thing to me is different because Saquon is an outlier. He's like a top, if you have a top five back, like, can't they in his prime? Like, really? Like, he can't. And no. I'm not talking about
hurt, Jamal. He already got hurt.
But he got hurt one season, right? He missed a season. He's played 60 games in 5 years. That's 12 games a season. That's pretty good, man.
Well, you know? So let's go back to our betting. Let's make a bet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're saying this as a fan and as a
– I've never been a Giants fan ever. I don't care about the Giants.
Well, you're saying this as a commentator. But right. If you were the general manager and your butt was on the line,
right,
would you give – Saquon, knowing that he's going to get hurt. It's not if, it's he's going to get hurt. You were fortunate last year that he did not get hurt. And you appreciate, thanks, Thanks, Saquon. You know, we can never repay you for what you've done. But
exactly.
You know he's going to get hurt. It's just
okay. So, but why? But okay, it's not. I mean, okay, I guess I got to see the numbers of these. Yes, off the top of the head, you know these running backs get hurt, but it's football. Everybody gets hurt, right? But if you tell me that the running back is like 80% likely to get hurt or something, like I get it, because that's the only thing that I could see it being a bad deal to pay Barkley like a couple $1 million more to avoid the PR hit you take, the locker room hit you take if he doesn't show. Right, so you're hurting your team by not paying him a couple $1 million extra. The only way it's beneficial is if he were to get hurt. He was your entire team last year. He's a fan favorite. Why is it not worth giving him just a couple $1 million extra to show up rather than? Now he doesn't show up to the training camp. That puts you behind. Now he doesn't play. Now after every game, the media is going to ask questions. It's going to cause all this stuff in the locker room, and now you're going to have a bad season because of it. It's not worth a couple million?
No. In other words, the fans will be there. The fans will be there. It doesn't matter. You talk about fan favorite. They don't care. It'll be the next person up, whoever wears the next number, third, whatever his number is.
If he's good, yeah. If that person produces it all. Which might.
Okay, Saquon, who? And in the locker room, you know, it's like slaves. You boys better shape up or ship out. There ain't no guaranteed contracts here. You know, you better take your lip off the floor and just get out there and play, you know. Talk about locker room issue. There will be no locker room, you know. So I hear what you're saying, and I just – it would be great if Saquon would get his money. But if you're looking at these people, they're doing it because they can do it. You know, it's $2 million. You know, you're right. It's humiliating that for all I did for you, you know, I said, well, we paid you for that already. You know,
right. Like, so the franchise tag is $10 million, right? They got to pay him that if he plays. He reportedly would have signed a long 2 year, $12 million a year contract. And you don't want to do that, but you gave Daniel Jones, who's an average quarterback at best, $40 million.
Average quarterback.
Right. True. And they didn't have to, I don't think they had to do that. I think they could have gave him $10 million less. Where's he going to go? He wasn't,
yeah, they didn't have to,
you know, yeah, so it's right. Like you splurged on this guy to make him happy. Meanwhile, he was only average because he had this great running back behind him that was getting – was touching the ball about 60-70% of the offense. And you don't want to give him a couple million just to, you know – and that's what – when you say what if I were the GM, I'm thinking of – I'm still thinking of it team-wise. I'm still thinking about the team. And if I give this dude just a couple million more dollars, you know, it just can smooth things out. And the only way it's a bad deal is if he gets hurt. But he can get her off the franchise tag, and he's still going to get that $10 million for this year.
Yeah, so that's okay. If I'm mayor, I say, okay, Jamal, we'll take it out of your salary.
And then I'll say, no, that's okay. Never mind.
This is only $2 million. Say, we'll take it out of your salary.
I was just playing.
Well, Saquon, we really appreciate all you've done.
Well, I think Daniel Jones should give him a couple million. Like, come on, man. I mean,
what would Daniel Jones say? Well, I mean, I don't know. I did. You know, I mean, I did improve, and Saquon, you know, my play helped you. You know.
Yeah, anyway, that's NFL stuff. I mean, they basically did him like. I mean, if teams are willing to do. Yeah, I mean, if teams are willing to do Lamar Jackson like that, they'll do Saquon like that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So, if I'm like Saquon, look at what they're doing to Lamar, I got no shot, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so anything else intrigues you about the NFL coming in with training camps are open, you know, finally kind of gives us something to – so we don't have to, deal with baseball,
My Mets might make a comeback. You never know. Did you know that you know the Yankees are in last place for the first time in like 30 years? Even though they're above 500, you know, they're about four games above 500, but the AL East is so strong. But the Yankees are in last place for the first time in like 30 something years.
You say that with a little too much glee.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. You know,
in last not place. A problem. I guess this is when everybody gets fired, right?
I would assume. But, you know, Aaron Judge has been hurt for most of the season.
Yeah. I mean, this time last year, we would call him Babe Ruth.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. What else we got in baseball? Oakland A's moving to Las Vegas.
Yeah, nothing. There's nothing really. I mean, I've been watching some baseball here. It is. I think those rule changes were a good idea to speed the game up. I think it does help.
Yeah.
Rarely do games go over 3 hours now. So that was a plus.
Yeah, that was good. You know, but baseball is still baseball. Yeah. The essence of it is baseball.
There's more stolen bases now because of these new. Remember, you can only throw over to first once or twice per batter. So now guys are running like crazy. Maybe that brings black people back into the game. You know.
Right. Well, it's funny at the All-Star game they had the HBCU All-Star game.
Yeah.
And there must have been about 7,000-8,000 black folks there. There's got to be more black folks that's been at one time at a baseball game since the Negro League East-West All-Star game.
Exactly. Maybe we should create a Negro Leagues again. That'd be something.
Well, I think the idea, I think Major League Soccer people saw that, said, interesting. Mm. I just don't know if there are enough HBCU programs with soccer teams. That's right. The thing. I mean, Howard's got one, but I'm not sure how many HBCUs have soccer teams.
Right.
So that's.
And that goes back to the youth part of it, you know, grassroots, has to be interest. If black kids were playing soccer at high levels, then all these schools would have a soccer program.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know,
back to NFL.
Back to the NFL.
Yeah. NFL camps opened up. In fact, Bill, I'm gonna go check out the Jets training camp tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
See what's up with Jared. You know, and
is that the thing with the family where you can bring your kids?
No, this is just it's just a media credential.
Oh, no, do we have our credentials?
We do.
Oh, you have yours.
You have yours too. You got the email. I'm sure you got an email.
Well, look,
because I got it yesterday.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely go out to see Aaron Rodgers throw around the yard and Green Bay receivers.
Yeah.
I'm just be curious to see what will be his first clash with the New York media.
That'll be fun. There'll be something. First of all, if you check out this, they have this monster schedule to start the season. It's not even fair. They play like everybody good the first 6 weeks. They could be 0-5. It's possible. Right. They play the Chiefs. They play Dallas. They play, you know, every team that was in the playoffs like the first few weeks. So we're going to know pretty quickly because I don't think you can start like 0-4 and still have a great season.
Yeah. So. No, unless you all of a sudden you quote unquote figure it out and go 13-0
right
the rest of the way. Right. Now, I think they better – who are they, what's your schedule?
I got to look it up. I know they play the Patriots like week 3 or 4.
Well, they'll probably beat the Patriots.
Well, that's what we always say. You know, let me look up these NFL schedules, see if they have them on. I'm sure they have them. Schedule. The Jets, first week, the Jets play – are they home? Oh, yeah, first week, the Jets are Monday Night Football, and they play Buffalo. Week 2, they play at Dallas.
Tough, but not –
not yeah, you know, you can win that. You should win that.
You keep thinking of Dallas like the 1975 Cowboys. You know?
Week 3, they're home for New England.
That again, that's you know, you think about the Tom Brady Patriots. These are not the Tom Brady Patriots.
True. Week four, they're home for Kansas City.
That's tough.
That's tough.
Unfortunately, the only thing saving grace is they're at home.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes comes to town. And then, you know, week five, Denver, at Denver. It's always tough to play at Denver, but they were terrible last year.
Yeah, although they've got a new coach and a new quarterback.
Second year of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson apparently is in great condition. He's trying to turn his career around, or at least at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Week six, they're home for Philadelphia.
That's another tough one. I mean, Denver is winnable.
But at Denver.
It's at Denver. So that's the only issue there. But it's not like it's going to into Arrowhead Stadium or something, you know.
Right. And then they have a bye. So, I mean, but there were no easy games in that first six games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I will give the NFL credit. There, a lot of times, what you think is an easy game turns out to be a loss.
Yeah. That's true.
So since we've taken the betting money, what's your bet on what the Jets will be by the time of their bye? Let's go game to game. And we'll make wagers.
All right. So
you have to keep a record, as Jamal, because I'm not. You have to keep a
record. So week one.
As if you don't have enough on your plate.
Week one, home versus Buffalo, Josh Allen, the great Josh Allen.
I'll say Jets win.
You say Jets beat Buffalo that first game.
I'll say Jets win.
I'm going to say the Bills win that game.
Yeah.
Just more continuity. They know each other. They'll be up for it. It'll be good weather. Week two, Dallas. At Dallas. I'll give the Jets. I'll say the Jets for that.
I'll say the Jets too, even though I think that the Dallas could win with Dak Prescott. If they don't, they're going to be ready to hang Dak and effigy.
Yeah, get ready for that.
I'll go with Dallas on that. I mean, I'll go with the Jets.
I'm down on Dallas this year. They got rid of their offensive coordinator. They made him the fall guy for them losing. And now they have their head coach, McCarthy, who I never believed in ever. And he's calling their plays. They're about to have a terrible season. Watch. No question. Week three, the Patriots. I'll take the Jets.
A win for the Jets.
Yeah, at home versus the Patriots. I'll take the Jets. So that's 2-1. Week four, Kansas City. They play Kansas City. Kansas City at New York. I'm taking Kansas City.
Kansas City. No, I don't care where they play on Jupiter.
A big game too. They'll be hyping it up. Mahomes will be ready.
Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers with the Jets.
Yeah. So give me Mahomes in that. So that'd be 2-2. And then week five at Miami. No, that's the Giants. At Denver. Like we said.
That's a tough game.
I'll take the Jets
just for the hell of it, but
if they're 3-2 at the bye, that's good. That's a good job.
Yeah.
With that schedule. Yeah. But then they play the Eagles. Actually, the Eagles again. So they'll be 3-3. They'll lose to the Eagles at home.
Oh yeah, I'll take the Eagles on that one.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, who people are still, they're still doing these quarterback lists, top five. And I saw ESPN list that had Herbert ahead of Jalen Hurts. What does he have to do?
Something's never changed. The boy got to the Super Bowl. Yeah, but that was the defense, you know.
And the other dude won one playoff game, choked the second game, and they still believe in him.
And Herbert didn't San Diego blow?
Oh, yes, they blew that 30-point lead, like
35-0 or something, right?
It doesn't matter. He's a prototype, 6'5", great form. We love him.
I remember Solly. Our friend and friend of the show, Solomon Wilcox, was saying in that second half, Josh Herbert started hearing footsteps. He said you could tell he started hearing footsteps.
Because
those guys were teeing off and he's kind of started shorten arming things,
That's never good, hearing footsteps. Yeah. So okay. Yeah, and then the other NFL thing that I'm looking forward to is Lamar Jackson. I can't wait to see Baltimore this year. They finally gave him weapons. Yeah. He had to force him to do that. We all know the story. I think part of that contract was them getting him stuff. So
So now the pressure shifts on him,
which is fine. I think he can. You know, I mean, if he just goes out there and play, he doesn't seem like a guy who's like thinking too much. You know, he goes out there and plays.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan. Wish he would have held out more for the guaranteed contract, but he was at Roden. That's your problem, not mine. You know? Right.
And at least they gave him some weapons this year. Finally.
We'll see. Is what's the name going to stay healthy? There's always the issue with him.
Right. Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham. Is he going to stay healthy? I think that potentially, again, if he stays healthy, that's another bet. Will Odell Beckham stay healthy? And will Lamar Jackson throw? Will he throw over more yard? Will he have his best season since his third season in the league? Or maybe was his second? Maybe his second, third season. When was he the MVP? 2016? No,
right, 3 or 4 years ago.
He wasn't even in the league. 2016. Will Lamar Jackson have his best? Have an MVP like season this year?
I like those odds. I might even put $10 on that or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd bet on that. So good, and then we'll see. I'm sure there'll be other stuff that will come up. NFL suspended more people for gambling. I forget which team this was. Otherwise, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah.
I'm now officially a soccer fan.
There we go. We'll get some updates. Like you said, next week we'll talk soccer.
Yeah, we'll talk soccer.
Women's World Cup.
Yeah, we're warning you. And then next thing you know, it will be at the U.S. Open.
Yes. Yes. And Jets training camp.
And Jets training camp. Yeah. Well, have fun at Jets training camp. And I'm still here in D.C., but we're taking the fellows to see to the Museum of African-American History and Culture.
Great, great museum.
We're going to meet the curator, the sports curator there tomorrow. So that should be
that's great.
That should be intriguing. Yeah, so all in all, it was a good thing. So maybe I'll head to Jets camp on Monday just to get my first look at Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, yes. Of course, thanks for listening, everybody. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at BrosPod, on Twitter at BrosPod, on Instagram. Follow BrosPod on YouTube. Like and subscribe to the show. We're brought to you by Bet Online. Make those bets. And that's all I got.
And register to vote.
Oh yes.
Register to vote.
It's that time again, huh? I'm not looking forward to it. When elections become just, you know, it's just like your heart just it's so fast, right? They come around so fast now, these elections.
And we have come up 4 years of peace. I mean, relative peace, but you know, these people never stop. They never stop. You know,
never
you
saw stop. Never
overturning stop. Roe v. Wade.
Affirmative action.
Now they're affirmative action, race-based admission. I mean, you know, the monster that's been pursuing us for 400 years is still on the loose.
And I guess we should be used to it. We are used to it, and it's never going to stop. So yeah. I mean,
you just have to, you know, use AI to invent a permanent engine, you know, a motor, what do they call it in football, motor?
Yeah.
You have to have a permanent motor.
Permanent motor.
Continue to run and to resist and fight.
Yep.
But just, everybody. So in addition, I would say pray, but also vote. Make sure everybody in your family who's voting age votes.
Please. You know? I beg you.
Boy, you have no idea. All right, everybody, and stay safe. So God bless, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.